Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
I see. Oh, we're going to give away money in about 15 minutes.
That's right. It's the inflation bonus.
Inflation.
We're doing our part to feed more money into the economy.
Isn't that going to add to inflation?
Is this iHeart printed money to have the picture of the iHeart president on the...
Yeah,
you can win with the keyword.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's exciting. 15 minutes, and we'll explain how to do that.
All right. We got a lot coming up this hour. We got a little bonus gift a couple days late from Joe Biden's visit to California. Remember that last week? And all the nonsense with the fundraisers?
Yes.
Well, he did a couple of goodies. He dropped a couple of little bombs along the way. One was when he tried to give dating advice to a young woman in Orange County. A little creepy. And then we did get the audio of him talking about the California gas prices. A reporter hit him with the gas price question.
Yes.
Somehow Biden ends up talking about housing.
Yeah, but on the way, he says that the price has always been like that in California.
Yeah, it's always high here.
It's always seven.
Leave me alone. I want my taco.
It's always $7 a gallon. He is preposterously senile. He is like a walking cartoon.
He's not prepared for that kind of question.
No, I don't know why, but maybe
he answered it anyway in a bizarre fashion.
He can't control himself. It's just amazing that they let him loose like that. But you know what? They're all going to get a rude smack in the face in a few weeks.
We'll play that audio. Speaking of a rude smack in the face, a new poll from Harvard Harris. Do you know them, John? Harvard University and Harris. Is that the old, was that a polling organization years ago?
Same name, well, I don't know.
Yeah. 64% of Americans blame woke politicians for the country's ongoing spike in crime. Less than a third felt the country was on the right track. A majority of Democrats, Republicans, and independents blame the crime on woke politicians rather than any other factors.
The percentages were impressive. 75% of Republicans, 60% of independents, 52% of Democrats blame woke politicians.
Well, you know when you've reached the Democrat voters, you got a real problem.
Well, because they're suffering the most. Because the worst crime is in the Democratic cities.
That's true.
They have to live with this crap.
This was 2,000 registered voters. It was done online. And they waited for gender, region, race, ethnicity, marital status, household size, income, employment. They said they did all that to try to keep it balanced and a real look at America's feelings about crime right now.
It is the number one thing that everybody I know is talking about. Absolutely the number one thing, and homelessness is right there with it, and the two are connected.
They're not talking about inflation? A lot of people I know are talking about the prices.
They're talking a lot about inflation, too, yeah.
Yeah,
but
and this
I mean,
is the reason the Democrats may get drubbed in November.
Oh, they're going to get whacked around. There is a story about, in the National Review, one of the writers noticed that the newspaper, the Oregonian, actually endorsed the Democratic candidate for governor. And, you know, in Oregon, they have a three-way race because another Democrat turned independent. She's a lot more moderate because she thinks the woke Democrats have gone nuts. And then there's a Republican running. Now, a Republican hasn't won Oregon since 1982. But at the moment, the Republican is winning in the polls. And so this has caused a lot of people to snap their heads and take notice until you look at the polling of unhappy people in Oregon. Now, really, Oregon may be the only rival to California in terms of woke holes, percentage of woke holes in the population.
Yes.
And only 26% of the residents think the state is headed in the right direction. And in Portland, only 13% of the voters think the city was on the right track. Asked for their perceptions of downtown Portland, respondents frequently used words like destroyed, trashed, riots, and sad. And we told you last week there was a poll in San Francisco where two-thirds of the city hates the mayor, three-quarters hates the Board of Supervisors. And these are in the most left-wing cities and states in the country. And these are Democrats getting polled. Now, this is the big test. Do the voting patterns finally change?
One of the tests, you're right.
You know, and California, certain parts of California and certain parts of Oregon is the big test. Because the Democratic candidate for governor in Oregon used to be a representative from Portland. Her name is Tina Kotek. Kotek represented a large part of Portland when she was the Speaker of the House in Oregon. So she was there as Portland was destroyed, and now she's running for governor.
Oregon has not had a Republican governor since 1982, 40 years. Apparently, the fed-up co-founder of Nike, you may know the name Phil Knight because he's rich, he's given $1 million to the Republican lady to win the election. Her name is Christine Drazin. She has a narrow lead in the polls. What's making this a little complicated is it is three people, and one of them is running as independent but was a Democrat named Betsy Johnson, and she's getting 11%. So Drazin has a 5-point lead, but 11% is drained by Betsy Johnson. If it was a two-person race, could be that Kotek would be ahead because she might get all 11%. She might not. It really could indicate a change that people want to see happen in that state, something I don't think will ever happen here for a long time. I mean, a year ago was a chance to recall Newsom, and that flopped. So now we have Newsom up for re-election, and that looks like not going to happen. He's going to win.
Well, we need better Republican candidates, and we haven't had any in a long time.
But sometimes if you get an eruption and you get a revolt like this in a state like Oregon, you know, these states do, like you said, they tend to line up together.
Mm-hmm.
Deep blue, Oregon, Washington, California.
Human beings.
You never know.
It could be
just worried a couple of years behind this.
Human beings are prone to contagious behavior. They tend to have nervous breakdowns all at the same time. They jump on bandwagons at the same time. And we saw a lot of like contagious psychotic behavior over the last couple of years. All the stupid rioting over one murder in one police department, and then everybody carried on as if this goes on every day everywhere. I mean, that whole thing was just a huge overreaction. And what happened? All these idiot political candidates ran on to fund the police, and they're getting their heads handed to them. And now everybody's running as fast as they can from defund the police. Because that's a stupid idea. You know, but for five minutes, it was the really coolest thing to be pushing. Ooh, defund the police. Yeah, right.
Crime hit record levels last year in Portland. I'm looking at a chart. Overall, crime was up 24%. I mean, it's not that big a city, but they had 41,000 crimes compared to 34,000 the year before. Particularly big spikes in robbery and larceny. And that often is the homeless. They don't necessarily kill people. They sometimes kill each other, but they do need money. And then if you don't have consequences, don't they have another dopey DA up there? And
No, they have dopey everything. They've got dopey DAs, dopey mayors, dopey councils, dopey governor. I mean, the whole state is awash in stupid woke holes.
Right. We saw last year Seattle made some changes. The new mayor is not a woke hole.
No, they got
the city council changed a bit. I'm not hearing much about them anymore in terms of
They got a Republican city attorney. So criminal prosecution is a little different.
Yeah.
Because this is a failed experiment. Everything the woke holes represent is a failure. I don't care what their theories are, their philosophy, whatever their excuses are. I don't care. We gave it a run for a few years. Horrible failure, disgusting failure, dangerous failure. Get out, out, out. Shut up and, you know, get out of the country.
All right, when we come back, presidents past and present. Obama and Biden were in the news for reasons we're going to put on the John and Ken show. You'll find out. The chance to win some money is also coming up. The inflation bonus, the keyword contest is back. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, we're going to play you some audio that we think you'd like to hear. It's presidents past and present. We begin with old Joe, his little tour of California. Spent a couple of days here last week just trying to sap rich people out of some money in John's neighborhood. And then he made his way down to Orange County. But when he came to L.A. on Thursday and he was touring around with Karen Bass, remember that? They stopped into a taco joint. It looked like it was camera ready. Cameras were set up to record Biden walking in. He was holding cash, I think, for the order that I guess they made from the car. Tacos, quesadillas. And it sounds like a reporter wants a question answered by Biden. And it is about California gas prices. Let's listen to this audio.
Have you seen gas prices around here in L.A.? It's $7 a gallon almost.
Well, that's always been the case here. No, it's not. Nationwide, it came down about $1.35. And we're still down over a dollar. But we're going to work on housing as the most important thing we have to do.
Boy, there was so much nonsense in that.
The rest of that is housing is the most important thing we have to do in terms of that. Now, why would he conflate housing with gas prices? I'm not really sure. Or did he say that, housing's a bigger problem?
Because he's senile.
I think so.
That's the answer to all the questions. Because the first thing he says is...
That's always been the case.
That's always been the case here, which is complete nonsense.
Not $7 a gallon. No,
that wasn't.
And not this gap between us and other states.
No,
never this high.
No, never had a $2.50 gap. Never had $7 gas until a few months ago.
He doesn't really understand the question or care.
No, he doesn't. He just lies. He really lies reflexively.
And you think
easily.
Some idiot on his staff would have said, they're probably going to ask you about gas prices. It's a big story in California. Well, $7 a gallon kind of thing.
But he wouldn't.
Really?
He wouldn't.
Really?
He wouldn't remember. It doesn't matter what you tell him. They probably do tell
him. Well, you give
him
a little
stuff.
Card. He can pull out of his pocket a little card.
They do.
The gas card.
They have taken photographs and video of his cue cards when occasionally he addresses the press. And he does have in big print what he's supposed to say, and oftentimes he just goes off on his own. And then he says, but we're going to work on housing is the most important thing we have to do in terms of that. So it was just a non sequitur line attached to his gas price analysis.
Oh, I think I kind of know what happened because you're right. His brain is a little frazzled. He's walking around with Karen Bass, right, who wants to be L.A. mayor. He was probably told, hey, homelessness, big story in L.A. Maybe you have to touch on housing. So when he got hit with the gas price question, he's like, I'll just do the housing thing. Yeah, housing's a big thing we need to work on.
No. You know, even when he was at his most sane and lucid, he always said stupid stuff, lied a lot, exaggerated, told fake stories. He's one of these people that just tries to BS his way out of everything.
Yeah, didn't Obama say that? He'll find a way to F it up?
Yeah. No, he's a dumb guy. He is. He's just not very bright. I mean...
I read an article about him when he was younger. He thought he was hot stuff. And, of course, you heard him talk about being Mr. Lifeguard. He was kind of like the good-looking high school guy.
He's got a lot of bluster and ego, and that takes you a long way. But
yeah, his son got a lot of it.
Yeah, that's
Hunter
right.
Hunter Biden's the case.
Hunter Biden, same thing. But, well, I mean, look how stupid that guy is. I mean, he actually recorded every horrible thing he's ever done and put it on a computer and then lost track of the computer. I mean, all those photos and videos of you see him, you see of him, like walking around naked and smoking crack. That's all from his computer.
And some of that's, of course, in Joe, too. You'll see this in our second bit of audio. He was at a campaign stop at Irvine Valley College on Friday. He was talking about plans to reduce inflation and lower drug costs. He stopped for photos with a young lady, put his arm on her shoulder, and this is part of the audio.
Look at Dan.
Now, the very important thing I told my daughter and granddaughters, no serious guys in your 30s. No serious guys to your 30.
I'll keep that in mind. At least.
I'm looking at the video. Yeah, he's got his arms on her shoulders. He's standing behind her. He's getting closer to talk into her ear. She's got this uncomfortable face where she's laughing, but her face looks like E.
Well, who wants that 80-year-old face in your hair?
Get him off of me. It was also like, where did that come from? Why is he suddenly telling me not to date until I'm 30? Or
he's done that line before with
no
other
serious
girls.
Guys to get 30.
Other girls that he has started to nuzzle. He has got a thing for young girls with long hair.
Yeah, she's kind of blonde.
Yeah, that's his type. Because they've
it's
got
like light brown hair.
They've got.
Now, she's pretty. Did you see her picture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so I don't know what website this was. Was this the Daily Mail? I mean,
I have this from the Post.
Oh,
the New York Post has the picture of her and the video. Somebody whipped out their cell phone.
Oh, it's okay. But there's page
this
after.
This is Irvine Valley Community College.
Well, Ray printed this out, and he's got page after page of Biden hugging and sniffing other women.
Oh, his history, right?
Yeah, his history of hugging and sniffing.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, and even, the Post has the same thing. You have him hugging a campaign at a campaign event in 2020.
He even groped a nun.
Yeah.
Says here, Biden hugging social justice advocate Sister Simone Campbell at a Medal of Freedom event. She's got gray hair, and he's got his meaty paws all over her.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture. Biden embracing AFL-CIO President Liz Shuler during a September 8th, 2021 ceremony. Mm. She's got he's hugging her full, right, and pulling her close. They're both wearing masks, but her arms are limp. They're just hanging down. There's no return hug.
No, they're stiff.
She's a dead body.
She's rigid, look at that. Look at this other picture. Biden sniffing Eva Longoria's hair.
Oh, how about that?
Burrowed his nose, and the nose is inside the hair. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the Post also has a... Oh, I see that picture now. Got
yeah.
And Biden's also... Oh, with Harvard graduate Madeline Smith at a 2014 White House event, he's got his nose on her forehead.
yeah. That you see, he's pulled another woman, Danielle Robinson... wife of a sergeant, and his cheek is rubbing the side of her head.
You gotta get it while you can.
And then another nose in the hair shot of him giving a hug to Haley Shuping. She got the Public Safety Officer Medal of Valor.
Nice.
Her husband had died as a police officer. Yeah. Right. So you know, he looks at these public events as a chance to molest women.
The voice of reason when it comes to the woke world, at least for the next 5 minutes when we play the audio, is former President Obama. He says the right things. We'll tell you what they are. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Well, this just into the John and Ken show. Today, Governor Gavin Newsom announced that the COVID-19 state of emergency in California will end on February 28th, 2023. Today is October 17th, in case you're counting. Hang in there a few months.
Over 4 months? Why would you end it in February?
He wants to phase it out. So it gives the healthcare system needed flexibility to handle any potential surge that may occur after the holidays in January and February. In addition to providing state and local partners the time to prepare for the phase out. I don't know. And set themselves. Oh, I hate this expression.
Phase what
set themselves
out?
Up for success.
What does all that mean? It's gibberish.
It's of course. Well, it's Newsom. Of course, it's gibberish. It's stupid, wonky gibberish. And then he goes on this press release to talk about how they have been the best at fighting the pandemic.
No, that's a lie. What a liar.
Yeah.
You know, they're supposed to have a debate next week. Brian Dolly, the Republican candidate, just should go liar, 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 liar. Keep that up for an hour.
And pants on fire?
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Yeah, because he is. He's
and
a complete liar.
Bring a little
liar.
Pair of pants and set them on fire? That'd be cool.
Well, like I just hope. I'm not expecting a whole lot, but I hope Dolly, somebody just goes for broke on this guy. He's such a, his policies are so bad and so destructive. He's such a loser. I mean, he can't keep coasting on his jawline and hair forever, can he?
And how could he not be running for president? Half of this news release is comparing California to Texas and Florida again. He won't stop doing that. I guess he's sensitive over the criticism
that
people are leaving to go to those states.
But why? Yes. The proof is people are leaving in great numbers to both of those states. It's two much more desirable states. Both of them have 0% tax rates. 0%. And they kept their schools open.
All right, let's talk about the former president, Barack Obama. Ever check out a podcast, Pod Save America? Who's in charge of that one, John?
That is four Obama staff members.
Oh.
Four left-wing little weenies, and they have an incredibly large podcast audience, though. Every woke-hole in America listens to them.
Oh, well, that's
how they got the president.
Well, he's... let's start with cut four, because this is the first part I read over the weekend where he's explaining how things may be going south for the Democrat Party. Let's listen.
Look, I used to get into trouble whenever, as you know, you guys know well, whenever I got a little too professorial and, you know, started when I was behind a podium as opposed to when I was in a crowd, there were times where I'd get, sound like I was given a bunch of policy gobbledygook. And that's not how people think about these issues. They think about them in terms of, you know, the life I'm leading day to day. How is it even relevant to, the things that I care most deeply about? My family, my kids, work that gives me satisfaction, having fun. not being a buzzkill, right?
That's a lesson for the Democratic.
Yeah, and sometimes Democrats are, right? Yeah. It's like, sometimes people just want to not feel as if they are walking on eggshells, and they want some acknowledgement that life is messy and that all of us at any given moment can, say things the wrong way, make mistakes. Michelle talks about her mother-in-law, or her mother, my mother-in-law, who is a extraordinary woman. But as Michelle points out, she's 86, and sometimes, trying to get the right phraseology when we're talking about issues, Michelle's like, that's like her trying to learn Spanish. It doesn't mean she shouldn't try to learn Spanish, but it means that sometimes she's not going to get the words right. And that's okay, right? And that attitude, I think, of just being a little more real and a little more grounded is something that I think goes a long way in counteracting what is a systematic, the systematic propaganda that I think is being pumped out by Fox News and all these other outlets all the time.
Now, let's interpret this because he was really wonkish and full of too many you-knows, and then he has his giggling sycophants there.
He's not a great speaker without a script.
He's not, but he is living in the real world now that he's not president. I realize it's still a rich world, but he's understanding things I don't think he understood when he was inside the White House and Washington bubble, which is that people do care about inflation and crime. They don't want to hear about all your nonsense inside Washington politics stuff. I mean, we have another clip here where he's basically telling people, from his party's perspective, just ignore Trump and don't get caught up in all this stupid.
Yeah. But what he talked about here is really important. And it's front
and center. That walking on eggshells part, that's the cancel culture.
Enough with microanalyzing and getting outraged or expressing fake outrage over things people say. Stop it. Nobody wants to live in this totalitarian culture where there are moron woke people on Twitter get to control who lives and who dies. Nobody wants to live this way. It's awful. It's awful. And all the snitches, you know, a lot of people, I know a lot of people, they said they're afraid to talk at work. That's another thing. It's another reason people don't want to go in the office, because you're not allowed to joke around anymore. You're not allowed to say anything because there'll be some snitch that'll report you. And it's oppressive. It's awful.
Let's play cut two.
The thing that I think sometimes we seem to make mistake on is his behavior can be so outrageous.
This is Trump.
Folks who try to copy him and his outrageous behaviors get a lot of attention. And so we join that game. And we spend enormous amounts of time and energy and resources pointing out the latest crazy thing he said, or how rude or mean some of these Republican candidates behaved. That's probably not something that in the minds of most voters overrides their basic interests. Can I pay the rent? What are gas prices?
Of course.
How am I dealing with childcare, et cetera, right? And I think we saw in 2016, understandably, because we hadn't seen some of that behavior before, we thought, well,
if we point that out, that'll be
it. If we point that out, that's going to be enough.
Yeah, and it was not enough.
And you know what?
Because people were listening to Trump when he was speaking to them about the problems that the country was having, right?
And you know what? You could put all those social issues that they obsess on. Nobody wants to hear about abortion all day and night every day. Nobody wants to hear about transgender politics every day. I mean, the stuff that's pushed by these woke holes is just annoying and exhausting. And
well, if they get the smack we think they're going to get next month because people care about inflation and crime, then that's going to probably calm that down. Because in their inner circle, they think that this is important.
Well,
stuff.
You know what? It just they're grossly disconnected because they got sucked into a political cult where things like transgender and abortion are the most important issues to their gods. But what I saw in one poll was 44% of the people said the economy and inflation are the most important. Only 5% said abortion. The idea that the election was going to turn on that Supreme Court ruling was complete nonsense, but it was hyped up by this cheerleading woke media all summer long because it was the only hope the Democrats had. Because every other issue that Biden has put his old sweaty paws on has been a disaster. Everything is a disaster right now in this country.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up, it's 420. You will have another chance at some money, just like you heard there in that inflation bonus promotion there. That's when we're doing it, around 420. We got one more clip from Obama. It's probably worth playing. I'm looking at a story now, though, that First Lady Jill Biden tore into White House staffers after they failed to cut off Biden's second solo press conference in January. Well, this story took this long to come out, I guess, when her husband kept taking questions, even as then-Secretary Jen Psaki signaled to the president to wrap it up. I guess she thought they should have pulled him out of there. Did something happen at that news conference?
Well, it's the fear at any moment. Because
that the real brain problems are going to come out.
See, while the rest of the world plays pretend, she knows that he's shot because she has to care for him all day and night, right?
No.
So she's the one who finds him wandering around in his underwear, you know, in the kitchen at 2 a.m, trying to brush his teeth. I mean, so she's afraid every extra unnecessary minute he's going to do something that really is going to end his presidency.
Oh, it says here, the news conference became notorious because Biden suggested, remember, this is January of 2021, that Russia would only face a muted U.S. response for a minor incursion into Ukraine and predicting that Vladimir Putin would be able to prevail over time in Kyiv. Though that didn't really turn out to be the case. So.
Yeah, but it's a stupid thing to say. I mean, it's stuff that nobody does. Because you don't know.
Well, this is January 2022. I said 21. This is this year. Yeah.
When presidents blurt out stuff like that, it really could have an effect, a life and death effect, on the direction of the war, and what Putin decides to do or not, depending on if he gets offended or if he wants to say, "Yeah, I'm going to show you," or whatever. It's like you just shut up. That's the number one thing about being a diplomat is don't say anything. unless you have to. And if you do say something, you don't say anything incendiary, something that could be misinterpreted. And so, I mean, anybody who's not like a partisan idiot or a wokehead is probably scared to death to have him speak at any time to anyone.
All right, let's play this last clip we have from Obama. Former President Obama's on this podcast, Pod Save America. First clips we played, he was in a very quiet fashion trying to say, God, the woke cancel culture, that's not cutting it with the American people. Their daily lives are things like inflation and crime, and they don't want to hear about all this inside stuff. And walking on eggshells is what he said. And he says they're like a buzzkill, a lot of people in the party, because they're always trying to cancel other people and not, you know, liking other people's speech. In this clip, this is kind of true for what's going on with L.A., and the city council and the whole nonsense, because the whole redistricting thing was about identity politics. How can I get more seats for my people? Here is Obama. He's not talking about that here, but he's talking about identity politics. Let's listen.
I think where we get into trouble sometimes is when we try to suggest that some groups are more...
but he speaks
because
so carefully.
They historically have been victimized more. That somehow they have a status that's different than other people, and that we're going around scolding folks if they don't use exactly the right phrase, or you know that identity politics becomes the principal lens through which we view our various political challenges. And to me, I think that for a lot of average folks ends up feeling as if you're not speaking to me and my concerns, or for that matter, my kids' concerns and their future. It feels as if I'm being excluded from that conversation rather than brought into the conversation. And so that's something that you know we all have to be mindful of and cautious about.
But when did he turn into Tony Villar?
He's absolutely right, but that was a
it's painful to listen to. You're right. If you actually crunch it together, yeah. The point is identity politics just it's my group, it's tribal, it leaves other people
sucks.
Out.
It sucks. And everybody normal hates it. It just absolutely sucks. I mean, this is what the 1950s were like when they were hunting for communists, when they had McCarthyism and people lost their careers. They lost jobs and they were disgraced publicly because there was often an incorrect suspicion that they were connected to the Communist Party in some way, or they went to a Communist Party meeting when they were very young. And Joe McCarthy led that witch hunt in the 1950s, and it ruined a lot of careers in Hollywood of performers and writers and directors. And, you know, that wasn't my era, but I would read about it, and I'd say, my God, how did that happen? How could everyone get caught up in that crazy witch hunt atmosphere? And now we're watching it happen right in front of us. Woody Allen said that the other day. He said people are going to look back a few years from now, the same way they look at McCarthyism, and say, what was going on here? Why did people act like that?
All right, we got more coming up. Don't forget your chance to win some money. That's right, our inflation bonus is around 420. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.